Okay, we've got Brother Mike from California. Amen. We've got Brother Mike from California. He's going to share some things with us this morning. Okay, go ahead, Brother Mike.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mike Sawyer from California. I've been a part of this fellowship since the 80s. And the reason I felt to talk to you today about the rapture is in my hometown, probably the biggest church, it's about 2,000 members, split right down the middle because of, was the rapture pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? And so as a result of that, I've had to deal with a lot of people about the rapture. And I've really searched the scriptures thoroughly, and God has showed me a lot of things, and so I felt to share with you today. Everybody still can hear me, yes? Margie says yes, yes. Okay, good. Okay, when I talk to people, they almost always quote three scriptures as to why they believe in the rapture. So we're going to look at those three scriptures today and see what they really say. So the first one is John chapter 14. Okay, we're at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Okay, the first thing we have to determine is, what is my Father's house? Now, most people, in fact, most Christians even, would say, my Father's house is where God dwells up there in the heavens. But we're going to find out what is my Father's house. And the best place to find out something in this book is in this book. You can almost always find your answer to any question you have in this Bible, in this Bible. So we're going to look and probably try to find it in more than one place so you make sure you're on the right track. So we're going to find out, first of all, what is my Father's house? Okay? You don't have to turn to these scriptures, I'll just read them to you. But the first one we're going to look at is 1 Timothy 3:15. Okay, in 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church." Okay? Couldn't be any plainer than that. It says, the house of God, which is the church. Okay? So there's the first one. And the second one is in Hebrews 3:6. Okay, in Hebrews 3:6, it says, "But Christ has gone over his own house. Whose house are we?" Now that's not a question, whose house are we? That's a statement. Whose house are we? We are the house of God. We are my Father's house. So my Father's house is not where God dwells up in the heavens. My Father's house is us. Okay? We're the church. We're my Father's house. And you know, almost like everything in the Bible, there's almost always a condition to it. Okay? So you can't stop reading too soon because it says, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Okay, so we determined so far in John chapter 14 that my Father's house is us. Okay? And then it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That word mansions means dwelling places. Okay, if you look that word up in the Greek, it's actually dwelling places. is in five and also many matches. So let's read that scripture, what it really says. And you guys are many dwelling places. Okay? That's quite different. In us are many dwelling places. And then it says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, now he says I go to prepare a place for you. Don't you think the next thing he's saying was I'm going to take you there? But look what he says. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So this entire chapter, look down at verse 16. It says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he shall abide with you forever. And if you look at verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Then you can look over at verse 23. Jesus said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Can you see that this entire chapter is talking about God coming to dwell in us? So when it says, Jesus says, I'm preparing a place for you, you're the place. He's going to come dwell in us. The chapter's not saying he's going to take us away, fly us up in the sky. He's saying, I'm going to prepare a place in you guys so that I can dwell in you. So that's the first one that's mistaken. Most people don't understand that that whole chapter is about God coming to dwell in us. Okay, so that's the first one that I always get quoted to me on the rapture. Now we're going to take a look at 1 Thessalonians 4:14. This is another big one that the people that believe in the rapture used to support their understanding. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, now, is he talking about the white puffy clouds up in the sky that we're going to be lifted up into those clouds? You know, when you gather a bunch of people together on the earth, you have a crowd. And if you gather a bunch of people together in the heavenlies, you have a cloud. And that's why Paul said, be careful how you run this race, being how we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witness. Is everybody still able to hear me okay? Yes?
Yes.
Mark shook his head, yes. Okay, so it says, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now that word meet, Mark raised his thumb like he can hear about 10 seconds after I said it, so there's a big delay. That word meet, okay, to meet the Lord in the air, that word is a word that describes meeting a dignitary that comes to your country. Like if you went to the airport because the King of France was coming over here, you're going to go meet and greet him and welcome him to your country. Are you going to get back on the plane and go to his country? No. Jesus is coming to meet us. We're not going to turn around and go back to his place. He's coming to us. We're going to meet him. We're going to greet him. We're going to welcome him here. And it says to meet the Lord in the air. Now, you probably all know that there's more than one Greek word for air. One of them is the air we breathe, and the other one is the atmospheric air. Okay? This word air was the air we breathe, like from the sea level to the mountains. So we're not going to meet him up there in the atmosphere. here. We're going to meet him right here where we are, in the air that we breathe. Okay, so this is the one where everyone thinks we're going to be whisked up into the sky and taken away to some mansion up in the sky. But that's not what this scripture is saying. Okay, now the last one we're going to look at is in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, everybody there? 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, it says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Okay, there's a key word in that scripture, the word moment. Okay, it says, in a moment. Now, if you look up, I'm sure everybody here has a strong concordance. And if you're going to study the Bible, a strong concordance is a must. It has every word listed in there, and it gives it a number. And in the back of the book, there's a Hebrew and a Greek dictionary, and you can look up what that word means, okay? So that word moment is the word, the Greek word, tomos. A-T-O-M-O-S. We're going to be changed at a tomos. Okay, now, the meaning of that word in the dictionary is number 823, I believe, in the Strong's Concordance. And it says, the smallest particle. Okay, that word moment means the smallest particle. Okay? And many times when it gives you the meaning of a word, it'll say it comes from the root word, and it'll give you another number. So this word, atomos, came from a root word. I think it's number 5114 in the Strong's. And it says, to cut more comprehensively than by a single blow. By implication, keener or sharper. And much sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So what this is saying is, when it says, in a moment, the smallest particle, they translated it, the smallest particle of time. Okay? Which it probably will be. It might be. But more literally, it means in the smallest particle. And what word do you think we got from the Greek word atomos? Can anybody see that? We're going to be changed in the atoms. You understand this change that's going to take place is going to be in our atoms. God is changing us. It's the whole goal of God to change us, not whisk us away. It says that the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So God's entire plan for mankind is to change us, not to whisk us away in the sky. He wants to change you so that he can come dwell in you. And the last thing I'm going to say is more important than anything I've said so far. And the reason being, it's a direct word that God spoke to me. Because I had to deal with so many people about the rapture, I've talked until I was blue in the face. I've heard every comeback you can hear. A lot of people would say, oh, brother, we don't care what happens or how it happens, as long as we're a part of it. And so as a result of having so many comebacks, one time I just put my face in my hands like this, and I just cried out to God, and I said, God, what is the danger of the rapture doctrine? And he spoke to me right on the spot, and he said, they think I'm coming to change them, but I'm coming for the changed ones. So can you see that it says right here where we were in Corinthians, up above where we were a little bit, it says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And the word inherit means something's given to you. So God can't give the kingdom of God to flesh and blood. We've got to be changed. You understand? He's not going to fill heaven with a bunch of unhappy campers. He's going to fill heaven with the people that have been changed by him. It says that the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. So God's entire plan is to change us, to come to dwell in us, which is quite different than what most people think. And some of these errors in doctrine come from translating the Bible naturally instead of spiritually. Okay? And a good example of that is most Christians will tell you that there's streets paved with gold in heaven. Have you heard that? There's pearly gates and the streets are gold and there's mansions. Now, that scripture, if you read it, it's in Revelation. It says the street of the city. It's not plural. The street. The street of the city was pure gold. Now, that word street, the meaning of that word is a way. Okay? A way, which a street is a way somewhere, right? That was a fairly good translation. And we know that interesting thing in Christian has spiritual meaning. Numbers, names, colors, everything has spiritual meaning, right? So silver is redemption, and gold is the nature of God. So when it says the street of the city was pure gold, what that scripture is really saying is the way into the city is the nature of God. Do you see how if you take this book naturally, you're not getting what God wants you to get? You've got to see in the spirit to understand what God is saying and really, really know what God wants from us. So that's it, brother. Mark, I'm going to turn it over to you now. God bless you all. If anybody wants to say anything or ask anything, go right ahead.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Amen. Do you have any questions for Mike? We're going to get into these things again. I'm going to make a separate recording here of Mike because the quality was very poor. Howard, can you hear me any better than we heard Mike? Yes, okay. So I'm going to shut the recording off then for Mike, and I'm going to start a new one then.
Mark, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, when he said that he put his hands to his face and God spoke to him, what did God say? I could not make it out.
Yeah, what he said that God said to him was, I am not coming to change you, but I'm coming for a changed people.
Okay.
Was there any other questions about what Mike shared with us?
No,